AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It is Wednesday, May 6th, and I hope that you're having a wonderful day. I wanted to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to be preaching on this tonight at First Baptist Texarkana. But the Apostle Peter says to his readers, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, isn't that wonderful about God? He's the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Remember what Paul said, I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to us. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to focus in on what he said in verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Now, to be sober, we think about, okay, well, you know, you got drunks and then you got people who are sober, and it can mean that, but he's not referring to it in that sense. He's saying be vigilant, be watchful. Be calm and collected in spirit. It goes along with being alert. Our theme at First Baptist Texarkana this year is watch and pray. That's what Jesus told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, James, and John. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, watch is not just sit around and watch other people. It's be watchful. Be a watchman on the wall. You know, that is our job as Christians. And we sound the alarm and we let people know, hey, danger is coming. And so a faithful watchman on the wall, he doesn't fall asleep. You know, the watchmen were there, especially at night, to protect the city while others slept. And so God forbid that that watchman should fall asleep. Or God forbid that the watchman, when he saw the danger coming, would run and flee. No, that watchman was to sound the alarm and let people know, wake everybody up. Hey, this is coming your way, and we need to, we need to get to our battle station, so to speak. Well, I received a letter in the mail from our president, Tim Wildman, not Donald Trump, but the president of American Family Association, Tim Wildman, and it's dated April 20th, and I thought it was a really, really good letter, and it's really cool. So Tim has this four-page letter, but then he has another page that goes along with it that's just called Brief. So it's my letter in brief, and in his letter, he talks about three dangers. America faces three major dangers as we near the midpoint of 2026. These dangers compete with biblical Christianity for the future of the nation. First danger, angry God haters are flexing their muscles and gaining influence in America. That's a big danger, and that is happening. So we need to be sober, be of sober spirit, and be on the alert. Know what's going on and know what is happening. We don't want to be like the frog, the proverbial frog in the pot of water that slowly gets the temperature turned up and doesn't recognize what's going on until the water hits a boiling point and the frog is cooked. So we want to recognize it. And angry God haters, I agree with Tim. Angry God haters are flexing their muscles. They are gaining influence in America. Now, he shows a picture of Jennifer Welch. Popular commentator Jennifer Welch, an atheist, represents an aggressive godlessness. Welch calls every evangelical Christian and evangelical Christianity a cancer. She says Christians are, quote, the worst of our country. She doesn't just discount the Bible. She hates the Bible and people like you who follow it. Well, she is applauded by the world. I mean, the left loves Jennifer Welch. Why? Because the left hates truth tellers. I refer back to this verse often, John 7, verse 7, where Jesus told his brothers, they said, aren't you going up to the feast? And Jesus said, my time is not yet here, but your time is always opportune. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. You know, we have people today saying, oh, Andy Stanley in Georgia, oh, if we were just more like Jesus, our churches would be filled with people and everybody would be flocking to it and the lost would be getting saved and the world would just love us. That's the kind of, reading between the lines. He didn't say that, but reading between the lines, you know, it's like, why are we not reaching more people? It's because we're not following Jesus and we're not preaching like Jesus. But Jesus said, I testify against the world that its deeds are evil. And for that reason, the world hates me. Angry God haters are out there. Now, people love the God they create in their own minds, the God of their own imagination. Well, they love that God. That God is, as Calvin Miller, who has taught me a class in seminary, the pastor and author, he's in heaven now, but he said, you know, we like to create this new God. It's the mush God. It's the God with no sharp edges. It's the God that we can kind of mold and bend into whatever we want him to be. The problem with that is that's not God. I am who I am, says the Lord in Exodus chapter 3. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to tell people the truth. We're going to speak the truth in love, but we're not going to sugarcoat things and we're not going to, soften the message, so to speak, because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You know, I think back in Mark chapter 10, Jesus and his conversation with the rich young ruler. When the rich young ruler said, sir, or good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, it sounds like, hey, you got a great prospect here, Jesus. You ought to really butter him up and, work out anything that he's got going on there. But Jesus gave him the commandments. The guy said, well, I've kept all these from my youth up, which is, I mean, you shall not lie. How could anyone say, yeah, I've kept all the commandments? But he did. And it says that looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give it to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me. But at these words, he was saddened and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus did not run after him. Jesus did not say, oh, wait a minute. We can work on some of that stuff later. Just come on, be on the team, and maybe just give, I said, all you possess, give it to the poor. Let's go with 5%. Let's give 5%, and then we can work on the remaining 95. No, he didn't do that. He said, here's the standard. and give all that you possess and give it to the poor. Now, as I said just the other day, the reason he said that is because this guy's problem, I've kept all the commandments from my youth up, but his problem was the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. And this guy's god was gold. His creed was greed. And the Lord pointed right at the spot. This is what you need to do. You need to get away from this idol that you have in your heart and enthrone the Lord as king. Well, he didn't want to do that. But the Lord didn't change the requirements. And so we need to speak to the culture, to the angry God haters, and say, this is the Lord. Now, the Lord is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting, his faithfulness to all generations. But the Lord has standards. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity, the twistedness of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. That's God's resume, so to speak. That's what he said to Moses when he was there at the cleft of the rock and the Lord was covering and hiding him there with his hand so that Moses could only see the backside, the edges of God's glory and God's splendor. And God's glory and splendor is in his person, in who he is. And he is compassionate, he is gracious, but he's also holy, 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 and he will not leave the guilty unpunished. So that's the first danger. Angry God haters are flexing their muscles and gaining influence in America. Danger number two. Now, we're talking from Tim Wildman in his excellent letter to the American Family Association family. Danger number two, religious deception is in the spotlight and gaining influence over Americans. Tim says this, so-called progressive Christianity draws people away from the gospel of salvation, which the Bible says is of first importance, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. The Bible says that, quote, Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day. We only receive the saving benefit of Christ's work by personally placing our trust in Christ as we acknowledge and rest in these truths. But progressive Christians, and he puts Christians in quotes because they're not Christians at all, they deny this gospel, the moral standards, including sexuality, taught in the Bible, and substitute liberal politics for the good news of Jesus Christ. That is happening. It's happening in churches. It's happening in politics. Tim cites James Tallarico, the guy running for the Senate in Texas, and how he's kind of looks like Mr. Rogers. He comes across like Mr. Rogers. He's got this progressive Christianity, quote unquote, and people are like, "Oh, it's just so wonderful that this godly man is running for office." Well, the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. Don't be deceived just because somebody, you know, sounds so nice. You got to dig a little deeper than that. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment, Jesus said. And it is so critical that we do that. Now, danger number three. Islam is exploiting the first two dangers. Hundreds of Muslims take over Times Square in New York City, and he cites that situation. So Islam preys on the fact that angry God haters are flexing their muscles and religious deception is in the spotlight, and they get all the leftists that will support Islam. And if you say anything bad about Islam, what do they say? Well, you're an Islamophobe. You're Islamophobic. You're homophobic. You're transgenderophobic, or however they word that. You're just afraid of all these things. Well, I'm afraid we're losing the country. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that we've lost the fear of God. We need to be godophobes, not in a negative way, but in a positive way, because we need to Remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning point of everything. Recognizing that God is God and you're not God and you are to serve God. You give him his rightful place as king and take your rightful place as doulos, as slave. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we're talking about being sober, being vigilant. We have much more to share. Don't go away.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about being sober of spirit, being vigilant, being watchful, knowing what's going on, and being able to sound the alarm to friends and neighbors and family members and anybody in our circle. You know, we're called to speak the truth in love. And, you know, we don't want to cram things down people's throats, but we do want to be aware. So it helps us as we pray. It helps us as we bring up certain things, as the Holy Spirit leads us. You know, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when we talk about witnessing. We don't want to be the person that turns everybody off. And I remember hearing a sermon one time, and it said, you know, you can pull off fruit on a tree, and you know it's not ripe. Obviously, fruit, when it's real green, it's not ripe. And it won't want to come off, it won't want to unhook from the tree, and you can try and yank it and yank it and yank it, and you can get it off. But guess what? It's not edible. And, you know, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit guide us as we talk to people. But we need to be aware of what's going on. We need to be sober of spirit, and we need to be on the alert. Now, there are things that happen in our country that are surprises. And they're surprising but not surprising. As Tim said, angry God haters are flexing their muscles and gaining influence in America. Well, some of the things that we read about, we're just like, good grief. I'm just blown away by this. So yesterday, Ilhan Omar, you know, she's being called to account for her relationship with these fraudsters in Minnesota, with the people that stole $250 million. I don't know how Minnesotans think, but $250 million is a lot of money. Stealing millions, as you know, some have done, and get a slap on the wrist from these liberal judges. Those judges ought to be impeached. You know, there has to be consequences for a person's actions, and the consequences should be commensurate with the crime. Obviously, if somebody's going, you know, 75 in a 55, you're not going to put him in jail for 10 years. That wouldn't be an appropriate response. But if somebody steals millions of dollars, They should have to pay that back if they're able to pay it back, and then do prison time. And it should be enough prison time to where that person knows, hey, this is not a slap on the wrist. Well, Ilhan Omar, she's got fraud just attached to her person, to her story, to everything associated with her. And she was called by Kristen Robbins, who heads up the Minnesota committee that's checking into this fraud. They said, we need to subpoena her. They asked her to, hey, bring in this information. We need to know what, you know, what is your connection with these fraudsters? Well, she just stonewalls them. She just is like, yeah, I'm above you. I don't have to listen to you. So they were going to subpoena her. But the Democrats, all the Democrats on this committee, this eight-person committee, they voted against subpoenaing her. They said, oh, that, you know, the timing's not right, or, you know, they had some reason. It's just, I think the reason is, well, we can't, she's one of our own, we can't expose her, and so we'll just let the fraud go on. And so you just scratch your head and you think, good grief. Well, here was Christine Robbins explaining what is going on.
Members, as you know, we have reached out to Representative Ilhan Omar on multiple occasions, inviting her to testify and inviting and requesting documents that appeared in the trial exhibit of the U.S. versus Amy Bach. Her office or her staff was named in multiple trial exhibits, and we have endeavored in multiple ways to get access to that, because as everyone knows, Representative Omar had some role, whether inadvertent or not. She passed the Meals Act in March of 2020, and that took the guardrails off the federal school nutrition program, which created the conditions for Feeding Our Future. And so we invited her to testify about the law she passed. We invited her to testify and talk about the documents that are listed in the court case. And she has never responded to our multiple inquiries. So then we sent a letter after the hearing 2 weeks ago saying that we would like her to respond with those court exhibits by today, May 5th. Once again, she has not responded in any way to our inquiries. And so the only tool left for us as a committee, if we want to get these documents, is to issue a subpoena.
Well, and the Democrats voted against it. No, we don't want to do that. Here was their stated reasoning, timing and limited session time with only about 2 weeks left in the legislative session. Even if documents or testimony were obtained, the committee wouldn't have time to act on them meaningfully. So we just throw up our hands. We can't do anything. Federal jurisdiction, any potential wrongdoing by a sitting member of Congress, which is Ilhan Omar, should be handled by federal authorities, the Trump administration, DOJ. It's not a state committee. Broader skepticism about the push's urgency or necessity, especially given Omar's lack of response to prior requests. Well, she's not going to do anything anyway. They're just covering, in my opinion, they're just covering up fraud. They're just, okay, she's on our team. We're going to circle the wagons and we're going to protect her. Well, good night. I don't care if you're a Democrat and she's a Democrat. I don't care if it's a Republican with a Republican. If somebody's involved in fraud, that is such a no-brainer that you bring them out. And if you request this information and they stonewall you, yeah, you have a subpoena. We're going to make you do that. But all the Democrats said no. And it's just one of those, you just shake your head, unbelievable, but it's par for the course. And so listen, Numbers chapter 32, be sure your sin will find you out. If that lady has participated in fraud, if she married her brother as was has been circulated and alleged to get into this country, she's on borrowed time. you know, in that Greek mythology, the sword of Damocles is hanging over her head. And as I've said before on the program, nobody gets away with sin. Now, you might get away with it in this life, and somebody committed a terrible, horrible crime, and nobody found out about it. But, Sean, you're going to have to die and stand before the judge of all the earth. And as Abraham said in a rhetorical question to the Lord, shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? Yes, he will. And it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So, just unbelievable. We need to know what is going on. Hey, this was interesting in the news. So, you know, we have the lunatics that say there's no difference between men and women, and you know, we need to let biological men play female sports because this person identifies as a woman, and who are we to say they're not a woman? A woman is a woman, which is just ridiculous circular arguments that don't make any sense at all. Matt Walsh, when he has the movie out about what is a woman, well, a woman is a woman. He said, well, what does that mean? Well, it just means a woman is a woman. I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's like arguing I'm rubber, you're glue, anything you say bounces off me and sticks to you. It's just ridiculous. But this idea that there's no difference between men and women, so you can let somebody who identifies as a woman, how dare you take away that person's right to play sports? Well, here's the difference between men and women. Switzerland's women's national soccer team, they're ranked 23rd globally. They played a team of boys 15 and under in soccer. They got beat 7-1 playing 15 and under boys. There's no comparison. If the WNBA, you could have a WNBA all-star team, and if they played a good high school, 6A high school basketball team, they would get destroyed. I mean, they would lose by 40, 50, 60 points. Those guys could press them the whole game, and the girls would have trouble getting the ball over half court. And if they played a college team or an NBA team, they could play the worst NBA team in the world. The worst NBA player in the league would probably average 50 points or more in the WNBA. I mean, there's just such a difference. So this idea, anybody ever tells you we ought to let biological men play in female sports, I mean, it's just laughable. As Adrian Rogers used to say, it would be laughable if it were not so pitiable. So we need to know what is going on in our country because the insanity is off the charts. It just seems like a no-brainer. If somebody's stealing from you, you hold them to account. But Minnesota says no. Just seems unbelievable that you want to have men play women's sports. It's just a flat no. But people are up in arms about it. So those are some bad surprises. How about a good surprise? You know, I think most of us who love our country and love conservative values, we would say that Marco Rubio as Secretary of State was a home run selection. Marco has done more to impress us, to impress me. I just marvel. The guy is so articulate. He doesn't speak in these, highfalutin rhetoric, so people can't understand what he's saying. You know how some of the elites like to do. I'm so much smarter than you. He's an everyday guy, but he's very intelligent. And he was explaining what America is doing for Iran. You know, hey, why did we attack Iran? Well, it's because they were trying to build up a nuclear weapon. That's why. And they would use it. And so we can't have that happen. And this is him talking about the divide between the radical Muslims that run the country, the Shias that run the country, versus the people that live there.
I don't know of any country in the world where there's a bigger difference between the people and the people who run the country. Okay, this country is run by radical Shia clerics. And that's not what Iran and the Iranian people are. Now, they may be Shia, but they're not radicals and they're not clerics. And they just want a normal life and a regular life. And in many ways, a very cosmopolitan country with an incredible history and incredible legacy and the like. So there's this huge divide between the people of Iran, whom we sympathize with, and who the president sympathizes with, because they're the ones suffering.
Well, and that, you know, people that say we're, you know, monsters for doing what we did. Well, then that's the Iranian people don't say that. They're cheering us when we came in, when we bombed them, when we took out the Ayatollah. They want that. Now, here's Marco talking about the vision for America.
For America at a time such as this.
My hope for America?
And how do you personally deal with that?
Yeah, look, I mean, my hope for America is what it's always been. I think it's the hope I hope we all share. We want it to continue to be the place where anyone from anywhere can achieve anything, where you're not limited by the circumstances of your birth, by the color of your skin, by your ethnicity, but frankly, it's a place where you are able to overcome challenges and achieve your full potential. I think that should be the goal of every country in the world, frankly, but I think in the U.S., we're not perfect. Our history is not one of perfection, but it's still better than anybody else's history. And ours is a story of perpetual improvement. Each generation has left the next generation of Americans freer, more prosperous, safer, and that is our goal as well. But it is a unique and exceptional country, and as we come upon this 250-year anniversary, I think we have a lot to learn and be proud of in our history. It is one of perpetual and continuous improvement, where each generation has done its part to bring us closer to fulfilling the vision that the founders of this country had upon its founding.
Well, what I like about what he said there is, you know, we're not a perfect country, but we're a place where American ideals is regardless of your background, regardless of the color of your skin, you can, if you will apply yourself, if you will do the things that are necessary for success, you can be successful. In Dinesh D'Souza, he came from India. He said, in India, you can't do that. You have a caste system. And if you're born into a particular caste, you're never getting out of there. You know, Ben Carson, he was born into a particular situation that was very, very hard and very poor, and a single mom taking care of him, a mom that couldn't even read. But she did a good job as his mother, and he escaped from the projects and became, you know, a renowned pediatric brain surgeon. Unbelievable. That wouldn't have happened in India because that's not the way that system is set up. And why did America go to war against Iran? It's because they were trying to get a nuclear bomb. They still want a nuclear bomb. There won't be any kind of peace treaty until they back off on that. And because the Iranian regime would definitely use a nuclear weapon. You know, we have a nuke. Israel has a nuke. Other countries have nukes. Russia has a nuke. We're not using it. We know how devastating it is, and we don't use it. They would use it today if they had it. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, as is our practice. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, something we've been talking about, or something that's just burning in your heart, I'd love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. The Apostle Peter tells us, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Don't ever get the idea that, the enemy's leaving me alone. I'm so, so connected to Jesus that he just doesn't have a way in, so he's going to just leave me alone. He doesn't. And if your life is counting for Christ, he will come to attack you. Maybe not him personally, but some of his demonic horde. They're going to come and attack you. They don't attack the people that are doing nothing. What's the point? That would be a poor use of resources. So he's going to come after the Christian who is really walking with God and walking in the stream of the Spirit and making a difference. Now, we can resist him firm in our faith, as Peter says, and we can be, resist the devil and he will flee from you, James chapter 4. So we don't need to be afraid of the devil, but we need to be aware of the devil. And we need to be aware, as we've been talking about today, we need to be aware of what's going on in our country, because our country has lost the ability to just have common sense. Give you an example. I ran across this today. South Carolina inmate who believes he is immortal cannot be executed due to mental illness, the judge rules. So a South Carolina inmate convicting of killing a state trooper more than 25 years ago, it's just ridiculous, cannot be executed due to a mental illness that has him believing he is immortal. That's what Judge John Richard, Judge Grace Knee, K-N-I-E, found. I said, he's not mentally, able to understand what he did. So John Richard Wood, 59, lacks the ability, she said, to rationally communicate with his lawyers and does not have a rational and factual understanding of his crimes, why he is being punished, or the nature of his punishment. Well, he did the crime. He killed a trooper. We've been supporting this guy for 25 years in the prison system. I believe that somebody, Genesis chapter 9, he who sheds man's blood by his, he gives up his life, his blood shall be shed. And you don't house the guy and feed the guy and clothe the guy for 25 years. That's just dumb. And so what does wisdom say? Wisdom says he gets a speedy trial, and if he's found to be guilty, then he should be executed for his crimes. Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds man's blood, this is directly from the Lord, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. The judge in Charlotte, North Carolina, where that man brutally murdered that young girl on the Charlotte light rail, stabbed her in the neck behind her, didn't know her at all. She didn't do anything to him. She just was sitting there looking at her phone, and he stabs her in the neck and says, "I got that white girl." Well, he's not mentally able to stand trial. I just say baloney. You did the crime. You're mentally able, as some have pointed out, you're mentally able to vote. Well, we don't seem to do a mental, test to see if somebody can vote. We have a lot of people voting that you think, I don't think you're able, you should be voting, but we let them vote. But when it comes to the consequences of their heinous crime, we say, oh no, we're going to just keep you in prison for the rest of your life, and no doubt you'll probably encounter some other people that you can hurt while you're in prison. I'm a firm believer in the death penalty. People say, well, how can you be pro-life if you're for the death penalty? Well, the death penalty is for people who shed man's blood, who commit capital crimes. Being pro-life, a little baby in his or her mother's womb has not committed a crime. They're an innocent little child, and to kill that child is a heinous crime. I think the doctors that do that ought to be held accountable for that. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Danielle on the line from Louisiana. Danielle, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
I'm
How
Danielle.
Are you? Yeah, go ahead, Danielle.
I'm so encouraged, first of all, to be able to call in and to have the opportunity to speak with you. I'm a 35-year-old female in South Louisiana. I'm single. And last Sunday, for the first time in my adult life, to my recollection, I was hit by my biological father because I said that I would be willing to die for Jesus. Mm. And he told me, my father, my biological father, Wayne, he told me that he just never believed in that Jesus stuff. He used other words. Mm-hmm. And the Lord's ministering to me now that perhaps I need to move, but I wanted to get your opinion as a father of girls who are around my age. As a father, if you could step into my position as a daughter, what would you do?
He hits you for saying that?
Yes, sir. And I think he knocked me in the head, and that I think that knocked me out for just a split second. And Lord, help me! And it was while my mother stepped out of the room.
Did she know he did that?
I don't know that she really believed it. She took up for him as soon as I explained to her and to the other people in the church body that I've been a part of. I've been explaining that to everybody, and nobody really believes me.
I'm so sorry. Has this been a pattern with him?
Yes, sir. I remember as I was about 10 or 12, my mother took my brother and I to a safe house for a certain, for I think a couple of months. And I remember as a young child being so scared of my dad that plates would fly and there were holes in the walls. And I mean, I've been moved out for several years, so I forget how angry he could become.
Can you move out, Danielle? Are you financially able to do that?
I'm praying about doing that now. I have a call later on today with a real estate agent that I don't know. It's I have an aunt who is a real estate agent, and I don't even know if I can trust her right now to keep things confidential. I feel like everything in my situation needs to be kept confidential.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would recommend you get out of there for sure. If your dad is volatile like that, you know, typically I've talked about that before, where if a husband is doing that to his wife, and me as the dad, I would step in immediately and say, you're not going to be, we're not, God didn't call you to be anybody's punching bag. It's even equally bad, maybe even worse, when a father does that to his daughter. But I would want you to get out of there, Danielle. And, you know, if that means living in a very, very small place, but it's going to be a safe place, that would be far better than living on, you know, walking on eggshells with... Does your dad drink?
Not that I know of. I believe he quit drinking a few years ago.
Yeah. But that's just horrific. What part of Louisiana are you in?
South Louisiana, near New Orleans.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely be praying for you. And, you know, I think the wise thing to do is to get away from him. You know, keep shining. You know, keep showing him respect as your dad. I would be careful what I shared with him. If he's going to be that, you know, if he's angry at God, you know, just as Tim Wildman said, angry God haters are flexing their muscles and gaining influence in America. Your dad might be an angry God hater. And so when you bring up things about the Lord, that makes him very, very angry. So I wouldn't do that knowing that he's that volatile, but I would distance myself from that situation. And if your mom's not going to stick up for you, doesn't believe it happened, or whatever, yeah, I think the wise thing to do is separate yourself. But let me pray for you, Danielle. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are God. You are faithful and true. You love Danielle. You have a plan for her life. We just pray your hedge of protection around her from harm in the form of her dad, from the evil one who wants to steal and kill and destroy. Give her wisdom to know what to do. Lord, open a door. Provide for her a place where she can be safe, where she can bloom and do well. Lord, take care of her needs financially, emotionally, spiritually. Help her to know that you love her and that you're going to work this bad thing together for good through the chemistry of the cross. And we thank you, Jesus, for being faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for calling in, Danielle. You can always reach me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org, and I'd love to keep up with your situation and pray for you. So God bless you. Well, we have Cassie on the line from Texas. Cassie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'll just keep it short. First thing, I just want to offer a word of encouragement to believers to share the gospel. We were talking about that earlier, or the last show, Jenna Ellis, they were talking mm-hmm. about that. And it is so exciting. I know my friends here are intimidated, and I say, well, just order some tracts, you know, mm-hmm. from Amazon, and just leave it in the grocery store. Leave a child one in the candy aisle, you know, if you don't really want to talk to someone yet. But there's so much opportunity, and the Muslims are moving in. I say this with all love and respect, but they are taking over. I live right in North Dallas, Plano area, right?
Mm-hmm.
That whole Epic Center, you've heard about that.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's everywhere, and it's just really strange. They are so bold and growing, and they have very large families,
mm-hmm.
and I'm telling you that it's taking over. We need to wake up and spill the coffee. That's kind of how I feel. And my next door neighbor, I love her. We really hit it off immediately, personality wise. And we go walk in the mornings, go for coffee at the Muslim owned coffee shop right down the street. We walk there. And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh. But after a time, she only would talk Islam. And I'm not interested. I wasn't trying to project Christianity mm-hmm. on her. I just wanted to be a friend, you know.
Right.
But after a time, I was just like, no, this isn't working. I still am friendly, but I just kind of drifted away from the walks and talks. But I just say it is everywhere. If you go to Plano, I went grocery shopping there. I was literally the minority in the store. I looked around. I mean, there was probably, well, it's a crowded store, but 50 to 1 or 2 of mm-hmm. me.
Wow.
And I come home to my husband. I said, you can't believe what's happening. But we need to witness, I don't know, something.
Well, the thing about that is, so Islam, as Tim pointed out in his letter, Islam is taking advantage of the Constitution to promote, hey, we have freedom here and we're going to impose our religion and our laws. Islam is totally incompatible with the American Constitution. It's incompatible with Judeo-Christian ethics and the foundations of our country. And so it cannot, it does not play ball. It never does. It comes in to take over. And, you know, the whole idea of the Statue of Liberty and give me your tired and poor and, you know, that kind of thing. Well, that's for people that want to be part of the melting pot and become Americans. They don't want that. They want America to become Islamic. They want Sharia law to rule and reign in every American city. Well, that's totally different. That's a takeover. And they're not doing it with bullets per se, but they're doing it by taking advantage of the fact that so many of them, as you point out, Cassie, are asleep at the switch, and we got to wake up and smell the coffee. Hey, these people are coming in to take over. And any place where you have Sharia law, you have oppression, you have misery for the masses. It is horrible. And we need to pray against that. We need to stand up to that. And we need to call it out. And so I appreciate the call. I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. And Chris in Texas, I'm sorry we ran out of time, but thanks so much for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ. Share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.